Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister here at the Harrodsburg Church of Christ. I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to our broadcast this morning. We hope you tune in each Sunday morning at this time as we endeavor to give you a message of truth. We have a very extensive website, churchofchrist@harrodsburg.com. You'll find all these radio programs out there in MP3 files, also some Bible videos that are 30 minutes in length on various subjects, and a host of other Bible-related material to help and aid you in your study of God's Word. Please give it a look. You'll also find some information about us on the website. At the end of this broadcast, we'll give you the regular meeting times of our Bible study periods and worship periods at the Harrodsburg Church of Christ. We cordially invite you to all of these services. You will always be warmly received. Our only desire is to have you come and worship God with us, and let us show you a need for Him in your life, and you have a relationship with His Son, who died for your sin. We have been studying the book of Hebrews for the past couple of months, and now we are in Hebrews chapter 6, and this morning we're going to discuss verse 4 through 6. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened, and have tasted the heavenly gift, and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit, and have tasted the good word of God, and the power of the age to come, if they fall away, to renew them again to repentance, since they have crucified for themselves the Son of God and put Him to an open shame. Now, many people have great difficulty with these passages, but we need to understand them in the context to which they are given. These passages, it is impossible. What is the writer trying to clearly say in this text? He is telling us the subject matter is the great danger of falling away and leaving Christ. This book of Hebrews was written to Hebrew Christians who had converted to Christianity and to Christ, but were now under intense persecution from the government of Rome. And they were maybe contemplating that they could go back to Judaism, and therefore they could avoid the persecution that was coming upon them by Rome. But that was a grave mistake. And it was a mistake for them to go back into Judaism. Apostasy, with all of its grave consequences, makes this a bad choice. Not only to go back into Judaism, but in our day and time, to go back into the world. If we go back into the world, if we go back to sin, if we leave Christ and we go back to anything, or we go on to something different, we're going to have grave consequences. Once enlightened, tasted the heavenly gift, partakers of the Holy Spirit, tasted of the good of the Word of God, the powers of the age to come. All these things they had in Christ, all these benefits they received when they became obedient to Christ. Why would they give them up? Why would they give them back? Jesus is the light of the world, John 8 and verse 12. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 8, Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 8, listen to what Paul wrote to the church at Corinth. In chapter 5 and verse number 8, Paul would write, "For you were once in darkness, but now you are the light of the Lord. Walk as children of light." We were in darkness. We were in sin. We didn't know our way, and we were alienated from God. But then we have come to the light. And so we came to the light through our obedience to His word. In Colossians chapter 1, in verse number 12, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance and of the saints in the light. And so we have been brought to the light by the gospel. And so that all of those things are things that we have gained from coming to Christ. From darkness to light. The heavenly gift to partake of the new life that we've entered into as a Christian. All things have passed away, and behold, all things are new, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. We are to walk in newness of life, Romans 6, and verse 4. And we are told that this kind of life, that nothing can separate us from the love of God if we remain faithful to Him. In Romans chapter 8, verse 38 and 39. In John chapter 15, it illustrates that we have been attached to the true vine. And that gives us this relationship and this great advantage of being in Christ. What happens when they give it up? What will they have benefited? What will man benefit if he gives up Christ? If he goes back to anything, if he goes back to Judaism in the context here, or if he goes back to the world, what has he gained? Listen to a question asked by the Lord himself in Matthew 16:26. For what will profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? What would you give in exchange for your soul? What would be a good exchange? What would be getting a good deal if we give up Christ and our hope of eternal life? Tasted the good word, the power of the word. Romans 1:16 says it is God's power to save. James chapter 1 says the engrafted word is able to save our soul. And so there are great benefits to taking part of the word, because the word gives us the power. It is the power of God to save. And then we need to ask what it enables us to accomplish and to do in Christ. It accomplishes us to do his will. It accomplishes us to put our faith into practice. It accomplishes that we can be obedient to the faith and then be found pleasing to God. And so there's much good that can be accomplished by tasting the good word and applying and accurately putting it to work in our life. Promises and knowledge that we now have, we have through the word. Food for the soul. This is the food that sustains our soul and keep us from spiritually dying of spiritual malnutrition. The power of the world to come, we have to look forward to. The weight of eternal glory, we have in 1 Peter chapter 1. Listen to the words of the Apostle Peter in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3 and 4. What did Peter tell us? He said, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. We have these promises of God, this incorruptible inheritance. And we have that in Christ, and we have that while we remain faithful to him. And so we have to look forward to the weight of eternal glory. In John chapter 14, Jesus promised the disciples, and it applies to us in principle, that he's gone forward to prepare a place for us, that we can come and be with him. But, dear listener, be careful, because a false teaching is sweeping our religious world that gets one to try to believe that no one can fall from grace. Can one fall away from all these wonderful things that we have discussed? Can he fall away from the light? Can he fall away from the promises of God? Can he go back to the world? Could he exchange it? Could he fall away from the word and its instruction? Yes, he can. Galatians 5, verse 4, these Christians were rebuked because they had fallen from grace. To renew them again in repentance. Why is that so difficult? What will drive them back if they turn their back on all these things? If they turn their back on all the advantages they had in Christ, what can bring them back again? It's going to be very difficult to renew them to repentance because they gave up everything they could have in Christ willingly. What will drive them back to go back to the things that they were? Figuratively, they have crucified him again and put him to an open shame. Hatred has filled their heart instead of love. And they have really, in a figurative sense, they have crucified Jesus again. No trust or confidence in Christ, so we treat him with contempt. If it couldn't happen, why the warning? If men could not do that, why did God warn against such? Land that is drunk of the blessings of God's rain, it brings up fruitful harvest for those till the ground, reaping the blessings of God, but they can give all of it back. They can turn their back on it. Yet in a land where the cultivation never is given, cannot bring forth a productive crop. Christians who hear, receive, and take it for a while, and then they produce no growth, no good, no spiritual blessings that they have received, do they put to work in their lives, then they have thrown it all away. What is the end? It is to be burned up and is good for nothing. Read the parable of the sower in Luke chapter 8, verse 11 through 15, Mark chapter 11, and also Matthew 13, verse 30 through 40. We can allow the things of this world to choke out the word. We can become enamored with the world and we can give up Christ. It has become unprofitable and it has become worthless. Understand something, ladies and gentlemen. You can give it back. You can give back what you were given as a gift, as a promise, and you can take it back by going back into sin, by living again by the standards of the world and not standards of God. And when you give up all the advantages and all the spiritual advantages you have in Jesus Christ, what could God offer you to bring you back? What would he have to do in order to convince you that what you had in Christ, that you need to renew again? Now, it's not saying that it's impossible from the sense that it could not be done, but it's very difficult because you have crucified him again. You have thrown these things that God gave you in order to give you life and to give you a good life here on earth, and you throw them away and cast them to the wind without any consideration of the consequences of such action. Now, ladies and gentlemen, the world teaches, and the religious world at large, that once you're saved, you cannot be lost. That anything that you do in your body, any type of sin that you might commit from murder to adultery, that none of them could cost you your soul. That's foolishness. What caused you to be separated from God in the first place? Sin. Sin separates a man from God. Isaiah 59, 1 and 2. Sin's wages is death. Romans 6, 23. We've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans chapter 3, verse 23. And 1 John 1, verse 8 says, if we say we have no sin, we're a liar and the truth not in us. If sin destroyed your relationship with God before you came to Christ, how does it not do the same thing when you commit it after you come to Christ? You see, if that's not so, there would have to be two different laws on what sin does when men commit it. But there is no such teaching in the Bible. Sin does what it always does. Sin separates a man from God. Sin will separate a man from God, and the wages of that conduct is death. The Bible clearly and very easily, if we're honest, teaches those two things. Isaiah 59 and Romans 6, 23. It teaches very straightforward that sin separates a man from God, and the wages of that conduct is spiritual death. The Bible could not be clearer about those two things. And so it is possible, and unfortunately many have already done it. They have given their advantage up because they cast it to the wind. They went back to the world, they went back to what they left, and they gave up Christ and they gave up their spiritual blessings that are only in Christ to go back to the world. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 20 and 22 says the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. It would have been better for them not to know the way of righteousness than to have known it and to turn away from the holy proverb given to them. And you see, they can give it up. Why would that warning be in the scripture if it's impossible to do it? Why the warnings of the danger of giving up and failing to fulfill our responsibilities in Christ if one cannot do it? Why is it impossible to renew them? Because all the advantages they had, they gave them up. Oh, they could reconsider, but it's a very difficult road. And so what's the best alternative? Stay with the Lord. Stay faithful. Follow his will. Walk in his way and let him be Lord and you be his servant and be faithful until death.